It's time for the best coverage of the top stories in sports. The Sports Wrap with Jason Page starts now.
Welcome to this week's show. Former NFL safety Nick Ferguson drops by to talk Week 18 and more. But we start with the NBA and former NBA head coach and current Turner Sports analyst Stan Van Gundy. We ran around the league with him. We began with the Pacers' continued domination of the Milwaukee Bucks, beaten in four of their five meetings this season after another win this week.
Well, you know, it's always funny to me. There's just certain teams, and it's hard to explain a lot of times, that have trouble matching up with certain other teams. So Milwaukee, clearly the better team overall in the league. I think most of it is pretty simple, though, in that matchup. Neither team plays any defense. And Indiana has simply been able, in offensive battles, Milwaukee has totally changed from the Budenholzer years where they were good defensively too. We're just going to try to outscore you. And Indiana's a hard team to outscore. You know, you're going into a game saying we're just going to try to match you bucket for bucket against the best offense in the league. It hasn't worked for them. And it's what gives me doubts about Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference is, you know, I just don't know if they can win in a playoff series playing defense at the level they play.
Well, it's interesting you ask that question because I actually wrote this down to talk about with you. When it comes to the league now, it feels like everything is so much geared towards the offense. I think we had five games last night or five teams score over 140 points. I think that's the first time in league history that something like that has happened. Can you still win as a defensive-minded team? I think of the Knicks, who are kind of that, are more of that mold. Or is the league just so geared towards offense and that you have to be able to score 130 now to win?
Well, look, I think it's all relative, of course, because the numbers are up. Teams are harder to guard. But if you look around relative to what's going on in the league, Minnesota's leading the West with the 20th best offense in the league, but the best defense. And then the other teams, the teams that I trust, Oklahoma City's fifth on offense, sixth on defense. Denver's eighth at both ends of the floor. Boston's second on offense, third on defense. Philly's fourth on offense, second on defense. So the teams who play both ends, now Milwaukee's hanging in there record-wise, but I just don't know if that will hold up. I've always thought in the playoffs, especially when you get past the first round and the teams are all good, you've got to be able to win different ways. You know, you got to be able to win on those nights where maybe you're not having a great shooting night and you can win a grinded out game 102-100. You've got to be able to win high scoring games when both teams are, you know, making every shot. I'm not sure Milwaukee can win a grinded out game. They're going to have to score 125, 130 to win. Can you do that four times in a series against the likes of Boston or Philadelphia? I don't think so.
How much did the Anunoby trade sort of shift the Knicks' odds in your mind of being able to be a contender in the East? Does there need to be an accompanying move in terms of bettering that roster to get them in the category or in the conversation with a Boston, a Philadelphia, a Milwaukee?
Well, I think they have a better chance now. The interesting thing with New York, and I think it's because of Tom Thibodeau and his reputation, is for the last couple of years, I think people have perceived them as a great defensive team when last year, I don't know, they were somewhere around 20th defensively, and this year they're a little bit below average, but they're a top 10 offense. And so I think they knew their problem was we can't match up with Jason Tatum, with Giannis.
Donovan Mitchell, you know,
Yeah, we can't match up. And so they went out and got a big, versatile defender in OG Anunoby who can also make shots. I think they're closer. I don't think they're close enough, quite honestly. I don't think they have a group that can contend with those top three teams in the East. I would say maybe now they're more on the level of Miami, which is a good level to be on. But I just think Boston is way out in front. And then there's Milwaukee and Philly, and then there's everybody else.
Give me a thought, Stan, on the Lakers. You know, we've watched them in this bit of a tailspin here. I think they've dropped something like 8 out of their last 10. And I see people online, and I get it. Social media is a cesspool. But, you know, the fire ham stuff is trending. And I'm sitting there saying, the guy's missing Rui Hachimura, D'Angelo Russell, Gabe Vincent. I mean, and I get other teams have injuries. The Heat were playing without Jimmy Butler. But, you know, the guy can't work miracles if he doesn't have the ingredients in the kitchen to cook the meal.
Yeah, look, I think what happened last year, them sort of unlikely getting to the conference finals, really skewed people's view of them. Honestly, I just don't think their roster is very good. I mean, you know, I think that, you know, they're a team that's going to be fighting to make sure they get into the play-in. I mean, them and the Warriors, I think, are play-in teams. I don't see them being above that. I think what happens is you look at the top of their roster and you see Anthony Davis and LeBron James. But LeBron's 39, and what he's doing at 39 is amazing, and he's still a very good player, but he's not the LeBron of 29. And the rest of their roster, I don't think they've got another guy that you could say would start for everybody else. Like, that guy's a definite NBA starter. I think they've got good players. I think those guys are all good rotation players, but that's what they are. They're rotation guys. And quite honestly, I think Darvin Ham, what he's done is he's leaned on his defense, and he's done a good job there. They're a top 10 defense, but, you know, they're a bottom 7 offense, and I don't know how they get a whole lot better.
All right, let's switch gears to the NFL. Former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson drops by. Talk about the dysfunction in Denver and the future of Russell Wilson. It's next on Sports Wrap.
Over 13 million Americans were affected by identity theft in 2022, and the threats go way beyond just credit card fraud. Today's identity thieves can use your information in ways that are easy to miss by just monitoring accounts and credit, like opening loans, transferring home titles, even committing crimes.
Someone got my Social Security number, made a driver's license, and was used for criminal activity.
You can do so much with a Social Security number that I didn't know could happen. They drained my bank account. It was terrifying.
You're even more vulnerable than you realize. Your information is exposed through online shopping, banking, even corporate data breaches. No wonder there's a new victim of identity theft every 3 seconds. Only LifeLock alerts you to the widest volume of threats all in one place. Like someone trying to use your Social Security number, open a new loan in your name, or even commit a crime in your name.
There was a big yes button and there was a big no button. I clicked, that's not me, and LifeLock took it from there.
If you become a victim of identity theft, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will be assigned to your case and work to fix the issue on your behalf.
If something happens, you have somebody fighting for you.
All LifeLock members are backed by the LifeLock $1 Million Protection Package, including reimbursement for stolen funds, personal expenses, and coverage for lawyers and experts up to $1 million. It can be dangerously easy to steal your identity. With LifeLock, it's easy to help protect yourself.
I will be with LifeLock forever.
Join the millions of people already protected by LifeLock. And for a limited time, save 25% on your first year with promo code 25TV. All plans include a 60-day money-back guarantee. Call 800-710-7531 or visit LifeLock.com/25TV to save 25% on your first year of identity theft protection. Enroll now.
Attention families with a loved one in a nursing home. If your loved one has suffered from bed sores, falls, broken bones, dehydration, or even death, you may be entitled to a substantial settlement. If you have a loved one who was injured in a nursing home, we will find out what happened. State violations are found against nursing homes every day. You have a limited time to file your claim, so don't wait. Call 800-398-5999 and speak with one of our attorneys. The call is confidential and free.
Coming up in 10 minutes, Sam Yarnell drops by for a special edition of our Week 18 NFL picks, but let's turn our attention to the Denver Broncos, one of the NFL's most dysfunctional situations, with quarterback Russell Wilson seemingly on the outs with the organization after refusing to change his contract to suit the team's whims. Former Broncos safety Nick Ferguson joined the show this week. Is Wilson done in the Mile High City?
I think it's a foregone conclusion at this point, JP, based on everything that's come out over the past 2 weeks. First, it was that Jordan Schultz article that people here in Denver was like, oh, you know what? That's not true. That's tinfoil hat theory. Until that Friday when Russell Wilson decided, you know what? I'm not going to take this lying down. And he decided to stand up and speak out. And then everyone was going, oh, my gosh, it is true. It's not a lie. And that just blew everything up here in Denver. And I can tell you, man, it is fractured from a fan base standpoint because fans have drawn the line in the sand. Either you are Team Peyton and Jarrett Stidham or you are Team Russ. So I guess it's safe to say that the marriage, which was rocky, is now officially over.
Nick, is it certain that Sean Payton survives this? Like, has ownership then made a choice that it's going to be Russell Wilson that goes and Sean Payton that stays to sort of clean this up and rebuild this in whatever way it has to be rebuilt or reshaped? Or has Sean Payton damaged his reputation so much that if they're willing to swallow $90 million in dead cap space on Russell Wilson, they might be willing to swallow it on Sean Payton too?
Well, both of those things are true, and I'll start with the latter. As far as Sean Payton's damage, he has a damaged reputation with some members of his fan base, but ownership had already decided when Sean Payton was hired that they push all their chips to the middle of the table with Sean Payton, because after the fiasco a year ago with Nathaniel Hackett, they were like, listen, this is not what we signed up for, and we're not going to allow this to happen. This is why Russell kind of got the deal that he actually received, a 7-year deal with 3 years of that kind of guaranteed. And Sean Payton coming in, he knew Russ wasn't his guy. Let's not miss any words here. Russ was never Sean Payton's guy. And anytime that Sean Payton had an opportunity to disclose that information publicly behind closed doors, he did just that. And with that being said, Russ never really stood a chance. And it's crazy knowing as though, JP, that there was somewhat of a discussion with Russ about waiving some of his injury money, you know, back in week 9. And that was at a point where the Broncos had never beaten Kansas City in like 7 years. And it happens the bye week right after they do it. I think that was a part that was kind of concerning to a lot of people. But Russ continued to play. So it left so many people scratching their head as to if this was going to be a move ultimately to move on from Russell Wilson, why allow him to continue to play? And the reason for that was, it's simple. Going back to the summer when Sean Payton said of Nathaniel Hackett and his coaching staff, this was kind of the worst coaching job he had ever seen. And at 1-5, he had to make some changes. He had to change the narrative. And the only way they can do that was win some games. But as the season started to close, there was a realization that, well, if Russ continues to win, now, the money in 2021 and 2024 and 2025, the team is going to be on the hook for that, and they can have that. So this is why Russ was set down for financial reasons and basically not because of playing.
Nick, how cringy is this ultimately as a guy that's, you know, that you know Players Association people, you have ties to former players. If you're a big star player and you see them treating Russell Wilson this way, Are they going to be able to attract stars? This is a small fraternity, the NFL community, players, agents, all of that. Have they damaged themselves so badly in terms of the minds of players that might have been willing to come there?
Once again, that's a yes and no, because here's what I know from a player standpoint. There are players around the league that are looking at this situation and talking to their agents and say, well, if we consider going to Denver, we may need to rethink that strategy. But there are other players who are going to say, well, I don't know Russ. That was his situation. So if the Broncos ownership is going to give me generational wealth, I'm going to take it. But once again, this is the business of football. And there's a difference between football business and business of football. And in the business of football, you have your contractual issues. There have been several times where players were paid this big blockbuster amount of money only for a team to come back several years later and say, you know what? We need to shave a little off of that money we gave you. We need you to take a nice haircut because we need to go out and try to make our roster better. So, yeah, there are going to be players who are going to look at this organization and say they don't want to play for maybe Sean Payton. But there are other players that are going to say, you know what? I want to play there because they're going to pay me. And, you know, you never know how this situation shakes out. But it is a very messy one in the eyes of the NFL.
Now to week 18. My man Sammy Arnell swings by for our weekly installment of Page versus the Prince. Find out who we like in this week's games next. All right, week 18 in the NFL is here, and so is Sam Yarnell. And Sam, we're picking each and every game this week, starting with the Ravens getting 3.5 against the Steelers. Steelers and Ravens leads it off, Sam. It's Baltimore +3. Who do you like?
The whole format on me, it's wild. I'm not picking against the Ravens as a dog. Give me Baltimore +3.
I'm actually with you on this. Jason Cole likes the Steelers, but I just got a feeling Baltimore's still going to go in there with a sense of, hey, we want to keep them out of the playoffs, division rival and all. Give me the Ravens +3 as well. Texans -1.5 in Indianapolis. Who do you like?
Big day for Nico Collins. Give me Houston laying 1.5.
I think we've poo-pooed Indianapolis all year. And you know what, man? Credit to Gardner Minshew, who's just found ways to win games for this team and shows the importance of a good backup quarterback. I'll take Indianapolis +1.5. Falcons +3 in New Orleans against the Saints.
I hate this line more than just about any line on the board. Give me the road dog Falcons plus a field goal.
Boy, we disagree again. I don't trust the Falcons at all anymore. The quarterback situation's a mess. Arthur Smith's team just has really been leaking oil coming down the stretch. I'll take the Saints -3. The Browns with no Joe Flacco getting 7 in Cincinnati against the Bengals.
Okay, Jake Browning. Bengals minus a touchdown.
Yeah, I'll go with you on that. Cleveland's defense not as good on the road. Bengals want to finish on a high note. I'll take Cincy -7. Jaguars and Titans. It's been a disappointing finish to the season for the Jaguars. I'll go first here. -3.5. I think they finish the season with a win and a division title.
I think Mike Vrabel's really good in games that don't mean anything. Give me the Titans in this one.
Fair enough. Buccaneers and Panthers in Charlotte. +4.5 to the Panthers.
I'll go Bucks here, I guess.
That doesn't sound like a very confident selection.
It's not, but I hate this game.
You hate every game every week, though. So
that's
what
good bettors do.
They hate every game. Okay, that's fair. I'll go Tampa Bay -4.5 as well. I think they figure out a way to get the win. The Jets' hapless season comes to a conclusion in Foxborough against the Patriots in what could be Bill Belichick's final game as the Patriots head coach. Well, Belichick has exuded dominance over the Jets all these years. Does he finish his tenure in New England potentially with a win? It's New England -1.5.
I love this game, Jason. Oh, I'm not betting against Bill Belichick at home. Give me Bailey Zappi. I'm not putting American money on Trevor Siemian. Patriots -1.5.
I'm with you on that. I don't think there's any way in hell Bill Belichick loses his final game potentially in Foxborough for that team. The Vikings +3 in Detroit against the Lions. Nothing to play for here for anybody, pretty much.
Nah, I think the Vikings will have fun with it. Give me the Vikings on the road as the dog +3.
Yeah, I'm going to go Detroit -3. I think that setting a tone, winning culture, I think all of that means a lot to Dan Campbell. I think the Lions still find a way to win their -3 division matchup. Bears and Packers, with the Packers trying to make the playoffs with Jordan Love at quarterback. I love the Packers -3. What say you?
I love the Bears in this one. I think the Packers win it, but I think they win it with a late field goal by just a point. Love the over in this game as a side play, but give me the Bears plus a field goal.
The Cowboys and the Commanders, with Washington getting 13.5 at home.
Yeah, if the Commanders could score negative points in this game, they would. I'm expecting a ton from the Cowboys. Give me Dallas and lay the two touchdowns.
All right, rapid fire here because we only got about 50 seconds. Cardinals +3 at home against the Seahawks.
Give me the Seahawks in that one.
By the way, I'll take the Commanders +13.5. I'll take the Cardinals +3. Rams +4 in San Francisco against the Niners.
I love you, Carson Wentz. Give me the Rams.
I'll take the Rams as well, +4. Eagles and Giants. Giants +5.5.
Eagles need to win this one. Lay the 5.5 with Philadelphia.
I will go with you on that. Broncos +2.5 in Vegas.
I like Vegas here. They're going to win it for Antonio Pierce.
Me too. Take Vegas -2.5. Chiefs +3.5 against the Chargers.
There's no way Staley wins this. Give me Kansas City as a road favorite or road dog.
All right. I'll take Kansas City +3.5 in Los Angeles against the Chargers. And finally, Bills -2.5 in Miami against the Dolphins.
I've already got a future on this game. I need the Bills to win it. Give me the Bills, -2.5.
You have no future. Miami, +2.5. Give me the Dolphins. I just got a feeling. All right, Sam. Those are our picks for this week. You can track them online. SportsWrap.tv. We'll have them posted up there for you by the time the games get underway this weekend. Sports Wrap continues. We'll finish the show with something to consider next.
Hi, friends. Richard Karn here. Now, I'm known as the guy who can fix just about anything, but the technology in most appliances requires very special training to fix. And that's why my family has Choice Home Warranty.
Choice Home Warranty covers over 25 major home systems and appliances. That's your AC, heating, plumbing, kitchen and laundry appliances, and so much more.
Imagine for less than a cup of coffee a day, Choice Home Warranty can help protect you from expensive major system and appliance breakdowns that your homeowner's insurance doesn't cover.
Call Choice Home Warranty now and get access to a nationwide network of over 15,000 technicians and the latest appointment setting technology so you'll know when they're on their way.
So, do what this old DIYer did and call Choice Home Warranty now before something breaks down.
Get protection for your heating, AC, plumbing, kitchen, and laundry appliances, and more. Call for your free quote today. Call in the next 5 minutes and get your first month free. 800-394-8109. That's 800-394-8109.
All right, before we go, something to consider for this week's show. And it involves Trevor Bauer, who hasn't pitched in Major League Baseball since June of 2021. Sexual assault allegations pretty much put a stop to his Major League Baseball career. Suspended by Major League Baseball, the Dodgers cut him loose, he pitched overseas in Japan, and now he's trying to figure out what to do next. He wants back in with Major League Baseball. He's asking for a second chance. He made an appearance on Fox News on Thursday to make his case for why he thought he should get another opportunity. And while he did admit to some mistakes, he still says he did nothing wrong. And frankly, he hasn't been criminally charged with anything. He has settled suits civilly out of court. But what do you do if you're Major League Baseball? What do you do if your team's around Major League Baseball? This is a sticky subject. Now, sexual assault is nothing to fool around with. And for Major League Baseball teams, and I say this as a victim of sexual assault, it's something that's very tricky for Major League Baseball teams to navigate around. I find it hard to believe that a major market team, a Yankees, Dodgers, and LA, San Francisco, Chicago, Boston, I find it hard to believe that a franchise in those markets where the media exposure is so heavy, is going to take a chance on him. But I think somebody will give another opportunity to Trevor Bauer for the 2024 Major League Baseball season. There are enough teams that are desperate for pitching, and he can pitch. There's no question about it. And that's a wrap for this week. Thank you to our guests, Stan Van Gundy, Nick Ferguson, my man Sam Yarnell. If you missed the Sports Wrap at all throughout the week, all you got to do is go to Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. There's a vodcast or podcast waiting there for you. We'll be back next week. Same time, same place. Till then, I'm Jason Page. Thanks for being with us.